as I was telling the kids, Epiphany is all about the revealing. And this week, God has done some revealing and clarifying to me, which was just amazing. I mean, you don't like it in the moment, but once you get kind of to the mid or end of it, you go, oh, that's amazing. And you go, thank you for that. Because it helps clarify those struggles that you might have been going through, or those moments of not exactly angst, but those moments of where you're in that uncertainty, the moments of bogging. And so first off, I hope you're all comfortable in your seats, because it's going to be a half an hour or an hour and a half sermon today. So surprise. We have a lot of text to cover today. Woo! But there's a lot of just this amazing, just a lot of amazing text that we get to cover today. But it's not going to be an hour and a half, I promise. But there is a lot of moments that God's love is revealed. And in that revealing, God's love is that desire to be in relationship with us. And there's two things that we need to be able to be in. Well, okay, let me start this idea. The sentence is not making sense in my brain for just a moment. So we need two things to be able to be the people God wants us to be and do the things God wants us to do. And we need God and we need other people. And a relationship, and those things are a relationship with God and a relationship with people. And you're like, wait, trust me, it'll all make sense at the end. And this model that we have, so those two things that God wants us to be and do the things that God wants us to be and to do. And those are God and we need other people, and we need a relationship with God and other people. And this is modeled for us by God. And Eli and Samuel's relationship. And we see that in Samuel through Eli in God's relationship to God. And we see that in Eli through Samuel to God, and God to both Samuel and Eli to God. So it's like this whole triangulation. And I know it's like this whole, like, what? Trust me. And if you think about it, in that triangulation model, you can also think about it in other relationships you have. And it was first introduced to me in premarital counseling, because they always say, in a healthy relationship, you always want God at the head of your relationship. So with you and your husband, you want God at the front. And when you think of a healthy church relationship, you want God at the head in any church. You want God there at the center of your relationship. And then you can also think probably of some unhealthy relationships you have in family, you can probably look at way back in your family system, or way back in like generations of your family and those relationships. And it was quite funny. Yesterday I was talking to my mom and it came up about some of our family system, our family relationships. And my daughter, who now lives in Idaho with my parents, we were telling about one of my cousins and found out that, oh, he had surgery last month, but she had to find out by talking to an aunt who had to talk to another aunt. Then she had to call a cousin. And so it was just like, my daughter's like, wow, the Dennis clan has an interesting communication style. And I'm like, welcome to the Dennis clan. But there is a system of which there is this scientifically proven. And the second time it was introduced after my premarital was about 20 years ago when I started entering chaplaincy. And it was called the Bowen Family Systems, which introduces that human beings and families function as one emotional unit or system. And the concept of which it is that triangulation. that the smallest unit of stable relationships happen in a triangle. So either, you know, like I said, most healthy is when we have God at the center, but there's also those times where we have, you know, the mother, daughter, husband, or whatever relationship that may look like for us. And we see it represented today, not only by God, Samuel, and Eli, but we also see it represented for us by the Holy Spirit, Father, and Son. And healthy relationships that are encouraged by Samuel, once it's clarified that God is calling him. And if you read further back into Samuel, you'll see why that relationship between Eli and God was cut off. And that line that the priest of the tribe of Eli, or Levi, I should say, especially the line of Eli with his sons, that abuse that was taking place. Why that communication? But Eli, once he was given the task of raising Samuel, why he raised that boy the way he knew God wanted him to raise him. And why Hannah gave her son to the temple because of that promise, that prayer. If you read chapter 2, Hannah's prayer as a parent just makes you weep. So I encourage you to read the first and second chapter of Samuel whenever you have a chance, because that prayer in the story beforehand that leads to chapter 3 is this amazing story, and it's so filled with encouragement in that, and just an amazing prelude to what we get to today. But coming back to the story that we get into, we see that Eli is at the end of his life, at the end of his time serving as a priest in the temple of the Lord. And as he is at nighttime, and we hear that the visions and the voice of the Lord no longer comes to this temple, it's hardly any, there's no longer any callings. The visions and callings are no longer really happening. But God has not given up on Israel. And he knows that through Hannah's prayer and Hannah's promise that there is this a prophet once again. So he calls Samuel. And Samuel, not knowing, because he's never been called by the Lord, goes to Eli and he's like, okay, what's happening? And Eli, not knowing that, oh, this boy is being called, says, well, go back to bed. And again, the Lord is calling Samuel, and until the third time, Eli realizes what's happening. So he encourages him, say, go and lie down, and when he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. What an amazing gift of that wisdom to be passed on. So then Samuel does that, and he gets this. It'd be really hard to have this message to be passed on, to know that the Lord has tasked him with this message for his elder. But yet, when in the morning, when asked, Eli, this message for Eli, Samuel passes on. And Eli hears it and says, you know, then he said, it is the Lord, let him do what he seems good to him. So all of this, that the hearing and receiving of the word, this relationship model that is taking place, this understanding and this hearing, this receiving. So through this relationship model and the stability that is provided by Eli and Samuel and the Lord, continues. It provides that stability so that Samuel can grow and mature and become the prophet that is needed for the nation of Israel. That through this, he can continue to shepherd Israel as they are seeking a king. And he can go to the father Jesse and go on to appoint Jesse's youngest son, David, to become the youngest king in Israel's history. And through the line of David and the Davidic covenant, we see that through the line of Jesse, through the line of David, becomes the Son of God. And when we look at today's gospel, we see that continual relationship, that three relationship, that triangulation, and that appointing of prophets, of those continuing that word, that message of God's love for the nation of Israel, for those who are willing to hear the word of God, to receive that message, even though it is difficult. Because there's that appointing of the disciples. You see it as Christ comes into Galilee and he found Philip. And he says, come and follow me. And so Philip gets and comes and follows him. And Philip, knowing that Christ is the one that Moses spoke of, that the prophets spoke of, he goes and finds Nathanael, who had doubts and was like, why can good can come out of Nazareth? We see that triangulation, that healthy system of Christ at the head and appointing disciples to follow him who are willing to listen to that message, to do those hard works that needed to be done to continue the word of God, that word of grace and love and truth that needed to be spoken and needed to be received. And those words and those truths and those establishings continue to be done throughout church history. We see it through Luther, and that continuation is done through us. That we get to be a part of, that we get to be inviting others to be a part of, to be adapting, to grow into, to meet the needs of those who come into our doors, who want to be around us, who we get to invite to be around us. So my question for us is, who are you in relationship with? Who is pointing you towards God? And who are you pointing towards God? Who is the person after talking to? Do you feel lighter and better and at peace with yourself? And who is revealing Christ to you? And who are you revealing Christ to? And who do we need to be in relationship with? Amen.